the God of the Bible has an eternal son named Jesus Christ. Whereas the God of the Quran is not spirit, the God of the Bible is spirit. Whereas the God of the Quran is wholly transcendent, the God of the Bible is both transcendent and immanent. Whereas the God of the Quran brings about both good and evil, the God of the Bible never engages in evil and is singularly righteous and holy. Whereas the God of the Quran is not a father, the God of the Bible is. Whereas the God of the Quran loves only those who love him and obey him, the God of the Bible loves all people, including sinners, and aren't we glad he did?
Amen.
Whereas Allah desires to afflict people for their sins, and there's surahs or chapters from the Quran for all of these I'm giving, the God of the Bible is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Number nine, whereas the God of the Quran reveals only his laws and not himself, the God of the Bible has revealed himself from the beginning. I'll say more about in the second track here. And number ten, whereas the God of the Quran has no objective basis for forgiving people, the God of the Bible does have an objective basis, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So, do we worship the same God? Oh, hardly. Hardly. Miss Ali says, given the choice, I would far rather live in a Christian country than a Muslim country. This is a Muslim woman who lived there, who fled there, who sought asylum, and who now speaks boldly and courageously, writing these books, creating this film, for which the director was murdered by the Muslims for his part in it. My oldest sister, Rebecca, lived for 7 years in Saudi Arabia. Her husband was with Aramco, the Arabian American Oil Company. They lived in the compound city of Dhahran. When they went there, anything that smacked of Christian had to be left behind. I mean, if they would have taken they could not have worn a shirt that said Abilene Christian College on it, for example. To get their Bibles in, they had to take the cover off the Bible and then buy another book and then put the Bible inside the cover, hoping they wouldn't open up the book. Really interesting, because if she went to market, she would have to wear the veil. They met in secret on Sunday nights at dark. After the servants had gone. And it was really interesting, she said, because we had people from all kinds of religious walks, but we agreed that we would just study the Bible together, we would have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and we would baptize in the swimming pool at night by immersion. So it's funny when you're all forced together, you know, how you come down to what's common here. Let's pray together. Let's study Scripture together. Let's have the Lord's Supper together. And people that want to become Christians, let's baptize them, even though they had to do everything under the cover of darkness. And that's in an American compound. You know, you can imagine. And she said, you know, her husband Ted was in the market one day where they discipline the people, and thieves have their right hands chopped off. Second offense. The left hand is chopped off. Those who are guilty of adultery are stoned. And those who are guilty of murder are beheaded. And she said it was not one swift blow, it's seven small chops. Eventually the head comes off. That's the way they do it. This is Islam. And that's Saudi Arabia, supposedly one of the most moderate of the countries. And this was years ago before, this had gotten so worse like it is today. So, you know, all religions are the same. Oh, don't ever believe it, you know. And don't believe what you hear about Islam today. In fact, I brought this, some of you know Chuck Colson. He has a radio program. Called Breakpoint, I think it is. Anyhow, he quotes Miss Percy from the Newsweek article I mentioned recently. Why do not we hear more about this in the mainstream Western media? Ali, the lady I'm quoting, suggests that this reticence is due to a variety of factors. One of them is a fear of provoking additional violence, which, if correct, is perverse, says Colson. It's like telling a person being mugged that you would like to help, but you're afraid that his attacker will only get more angry. Another is fear of being accused of Islamophobia. This is even more perverse. Now we respect the majority of Muslims who want to live at peace, but what's at play here are radical groups spreading terror in the name of Islam. And Islamic nations should join us in denouncing the violence. That's the thing that gets me. They never do. Sad fact is that the West, along with many Muslim states, has turned a blind eye to what is happening to Christian minorities in the Islamic world. That's the world we live in today. All right, back to Nomad. She says that a person who chooses to opt out of Christianity may be excommunicated from the church community, but he is not harmed. His destiny is left to God. Muslims, however, impose Allah's rules on each other. Apostates, people like me, she says, who leave the faith, are to be killed. And that's why she travels with bodyguards today, because they want to kill her. The Christian leaders now are wasting precious time and resources on a futile exercise of interfaith dialogue with self-appointed leaders of Islam. She says they should redirect their efforts to converting as many Muslims to Christianity and introducing them to a God who rejects holy war and who has sent his son to die for all sinners out of love for mankind. So did you hear that? This is what this Muslim woman, who is not a Christian herself, in fact, she's an atheist. She has become an atheist, but she realizes the only thing that will reach the Muslim mind is this concept, which I'll talk more about in the second part here, the lifting power of soul. So she's saying that all these Christian leaders who just want to get together and have interfaith dialogue should reject that and redirect their efforts to converting as many Muslims to Christianity, introducing them to a God who rejects holy war and who has sent his son to die for all sinners out of love for mankind. She gets it, even though she doesn't accept it, but she gets it. Churches should do all in their power to win this battle for the souls of humans in search of a compassionate God, who now find that a fiercer Allah is nearer at hand. The Christianity of love and tolerance remains one of the West's most powerful antidotes to the Islam of hate and intolerance. Now, I like this. She says, ex-Muslims find Jesus Christ to be a more attractive and humane figure than Muhammad.
Amen.
And that, when you study the life of Muhammad, I think he has several chapters in there on the life of Muhammad, and you compare that with the life of Christ, there is no comparison. And there are people who are looking for that Savior, that gentle touch that they've never ever experienced in all their life. We'll say more about this in track two. Now, I think Fannie Jane Crosby, who we started with here, would have liked Ayaan Hirsi Ali. I think she would have liked her very much. I think she would have done all within her power to do what she wrote about in that great hymn of faith we started out with. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. You have some questions or comments that you would like to share at this point. Yes.
I got a question. I've read or heard about Muhammad had sexual relations with his 8 or 10 year old cousin from Marier. Is that true? Have you heard that?
I don't know. He details a lot of those accounts in the book.
Well, I know he's pretty perverted in a lot of that stuff, so. I think it's
most false religions are based on Mormonism the same way.
Yeah.
You know, sex, power, the money.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's true. That is a 18-year-old cousin.
There are several incidents of that in the book, yes.
I want to know, our United States Constitution guarantees freedom of religion.
Yes.
It also, I haven't read it for myself, but I understand, maybe I'm wrong, it says that anyone who wants to overthrow our government is guilty of treason. Is that
correct? Yes, treason.
All right. So the Muslims want to overthrow our government.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're here. They're infiltrating America to overthrow our government.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got two men in our United States Congress who took their oath of office on the Quran. Why are they being allowed to do that when they're trying to overthrow our government?
I think we all know the answer to that. America has lost its spine. They're scared to death of offending Islam even more. So they don't say anything. They, you know, it's political correctness just run amok. It's common sense out the window. This is what we're up against. We have a president that is more sympathetic to Muslims than he is to Christians. He will speak up for them at the drop of a hat. He will not speak up for Christians. This is the world we live in today. It's a very frightening world.
But there's nothing that we can do.
All we have. Well, you know, just, we can write to our congressmen, we can talk, we can pray, but it's just If you study, and I read a little about, but their pattern has been, this has been their pattern always, you know, and they're not happy till they get their way completely, and that's what they want, and that's what they're after, and that's what some are acquiescing to. Yes.
Just in partial answer to that, I would suggest, they're very good at their misinformation, because, they present a broad, moderate base, and, you know, the same imams that are preaching the hate and radicalism in secret are the ones, you know, that also will go on, you know, national cable news channels and talk like they're, you know. So Americans, you know, part of the message we need to communicate to each other is that, you know, Muslims are, it's part of the scriptures to lie if they need to. But that makes
Quran
it more difficult
tells
because
them to do that, you know, they can lie if they're talking to a Christian or a Jew or whatever. It's permissible to lie, to practice all forms of deceit. All of your parents have that right to do that.
A lot of people don't realize there's been a tremendous amount of being planted around Baltimore and Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
We have a mosque and school 3 blocks from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And the men will speak to me when I'm out walking, but the women will not.
Yeah, they're not supposed to.
And a former Muslim told my son recently, he said, if I live 3 blocks from a mosque, I'd put my house up for sale tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I have, in our second track here, this is kind of discouraging stuff right now, but I do have some encouraging stories of former Muslims that have come to Christ and what will cause them to come to Christ. So I don't want you to leave here. If you're planning to go, there is some good news here. But, yeah, Bonnie?
I think we'll end on the good news. Our son has been over to Iraq twice. The first time that he was over, Mel Gibson released The Passion. He said that was the hottest seller on the Muslim market.
It was.
Passion of Christ.
They wanted to see it.
They wanted it.
Okay. That's a good news. Don?
Would you describe or define jihad?
Jihad is holy war. It is what they believe, and it's what their practice is, that they will, Islam or the sword. Islam tribute or the sword, you know, and that's still their method, you know. That's why they still behead, you know, all these beheadings that you read about. But they believe that this is the path to paradise, that to die for Allah in conquering others and defeating the great Satan is the highest and glorious goal. Jihad. And I've seen up front the results of it. I was in Beslan. I went to Beslan. I was on the ground 3 months to the day after the Beslan school massacre in North Ossetia that was done by, the press called them Chechenian terrorists. It's amazing how they all spoke Arabic. And they were Muslims. In fact, they stored all their kachuk weapons in the mosque right there in Beslan. And 350 little children murdered. So, yeah, it is...
Even though they're being taught Muslim, would they still be, since they don't know about Jesus, would they not go to heaven?
Pardon?
With those children?
No, these were Christian children killed by... Beslan is the most Christian city in that part of the world. In fact, it's just 15 kilometers from the home of Ivan Stepanovich Prokhanov, the great Russian reformer who led 4.5 million people to become Christians only. It's a great story that our ministry has produced that book in the Cauldron of Russia. And so they were targeted by Muslims and massacred. There were 15 children from the Evangelical Christian Church that were a part of those 350 children that were killed, and a Sunday school teacher from that church. So we have built a new Sunday school in memory of the 15 young martyrs. So I've seen it up front and personal. I've seen it firsthand. Okay, I think this class is supposed to go 40 minutes, and then we're supposed to take a break, and then we're supposed to come back. Is that right? That's how I understand. We've got our class time down a little. So I want to thank you for coming. I'll stay around. This is my book. It's The Biblical Roots of Islam. If you want it, it's $5. Just put the money in the box. Take one with you. Sonny Taylor is also selling it at Taylor Publications. Again, my booth is 805 One Body Magazine. All my literature out there is free. And so I think we'll take a break now.